John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 this morning. So I'll read verse 14, and then if you would please join me on verse 15 and every other verse down through verse 21 this morning. John 3, 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Today I want to bring a message that has a very simple title, and that is simply this: the only reason people go to hell. A lot of false teaching today, a lot of misunderstanding about salvation and about why when somebody dies they end up for eternity in a place called hell. There are many beliefs about heaven and just how to get there. There's so many religions today. And I've been asked many times through the years, why are there so many different beliefs if we only have one Bible? Why does everybody believe differently? Why does one group believe in grace, another group believes in predestination, and another group believes in salvation by works, and another one believes in salvation by church membership, and someone else believes if you're of a particular denomination that you go to heaven that way, or if you've been baptized, or whatever it might be. So many different beliefs about heaven and how to get there. In the same way, there are many beliefs about this place called hell. And yes, it is real, and yes, it is a real place. I think of illustrations from my own life as I was witnessing to a neighbor when we lived in Michigan. There was an elderly lady who lived across. I've shared this story with you before, but it's very appropriate, and I realize I've told it before, but not everybody's heard it. But I remember I sat with her one day and witnessed to her, and oh, she wanted to hear about how to go to heaven. And as I went through the Word of God and talked about what the Bible says, I basically went through God's simple plan of salvation, the gospel tract that we use here, and the one that I've used since I was a teenager. And she was agreeing, and you go through all the points and all the rest of it. And after you've gone through the points that we're all sinners, we don't deserve heaven, we deserve hell, Jesus died for us so that we could go to heaven, and now God raised him from the dead, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she was right with me the entire time. But what you do in soul winning is you don't stop there, you go back and review. And I said, and ma'am, you agree that we're all sinners, right? She said, yes, I agree. And I said, and you agree, as you have already done, you agree that we don't deserve heaven, but we deserve hell. And she said, I disagree. She said, I don't deserve hell. She said, I don't believe in hell. And I stopped right there. And I said, Jesus believed in hell. I said, are you telling me that you're smarter than Jesus? And she said, it's not that I don't believe in it. She said, I just don't believe it's for me. Did that lady get saved that day? No, she saw no need to get saved. You got to know what you're getting saved from. You see, the Bible talks about that. And whether people believe it or not, the Bible speaks, Jesus spoke of hell twice as much as he spoke about heaven. Why? Because he died on Calvary and was raised from the dead, so people didn't have to go there when they died. Jesus, what does the Bible say? We just read it a moment ago, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus believed in it. I think about one day I was in, in my office chatting with a Catholic priest on the phone. And I had found something in a Catholic Bible and I wanted to get his opinion on it. It was down in the notes. And it was about hell. And I said, the Bible says here, it talks about hell. And he said, that Bible that you're looking at, those notes are probably from the 1940s. And I looked, and sure enough, he was right. The notes that were in that Bible were from the 1940s. And then he said these words. He said, no responsible Catholic today believes in a literal hell. Oh, wow. No responsible Catholic? That's almost an exact quote, by the way. I think about Bible teachers on the radio and famous people right now that are in the news in our world right now in America who have changed their views on a literal burning fiery hell. And they no longer believe in that. But there's been many an evangelist and preacher through the years. In fact, I read an article one day that simply said these words, and I can't find the article now. I've looked for it for years. I think they pulled it because of how controversial it was. But it simply said that teaching people about a literal hell was no more than a cheap scare tactic to get them to get saved. And I thought, no, it's not. It is a scare tactic. Hell scares people because it's real. And but I read that with my own eyes. And if somebody were to tell me that without proof, I probably wouldn't have believed it. But I read it in an article from a Bible-believing group of individuals, and I've not been able to find that article again. And there are many ideas about as to just why people end up in hell. And most of these reasons are not biblically correct. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The only reason people die and go to hell. Number one, people won't go to hell because they are sinners. Is that right? You better believe that's correct according to the Bible. The Bible said, for example, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is, help me, none righteous. That includes me. No, not one. Let's look at verse 23. For all have sinned. I'm guilty. I'm in that group. I'm one of the all that is there. You see. So you don't go to hell because you're a sinner, because we're all sinners. And if that was the only reason people went to hell because they're sinners, none of us would make it to heaven because we're all sinners. And these passages teach that everybody's a sinner. And if a person went to hell simply on the basis that he is a sinner, no one could be saved. Why? Because all people are sinners. And it doesn't say all have sinned except those who are saved. And it doesn't say all have sinned except people that have trusted Jesus. It just simply says all. And then I think about this. Listen. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. My hand's up because I'm guilty. How about you? We're all sinners, aren't we? So to say, oh, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. That's not the criteria for going to hell, is being a sinner. Because if all means all, and when I read the Bible and it uses the word all, you know, that's a pretty inclusive word. Or Ecclesiastes 7:20, maybe the Old Testament, but I mean it is New Testament truth when it says very plainly, there is not a just man upon earth, a saved individual on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That is just inclusive. So I choose to believe what the Bible says. Secondly, notice this. People will not go to hell because they commit certain sins. People will not go to hell because they commit certain sins. Let me read for you Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. The next words, for there is no difference. And then when you find the little word for in the Bible, it's there for a reason, and it's connected to the previous thought. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In God's eyes, which sins are worse? It wasn't bad sins that put Jesus on the cross. And it wasn't good sins. We call them white lies and black lies, don't we? Shame on us. That's what we... Oh, it's just a little white lie. It's still a lie. You see, there is no difference. It's just that all are sinners. And let me say it again plainly. All means all. The unbeliever in deepest, darkest Aboriginal Australia, or the person who is in some tribe up in Canada, or someone who's down in South America, or someone in Russia, they may commit different sins, but it was not certain sins that put Jesus on the cross. It was all sins, not just some, and not just a few. The great, by the way, I made this argument a long time ago, and I don't know why people skip over it. I guess because it doesn't sound right, but it is right. The greatest command in the Bible is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. So what's the worst sin in the Bible? Not to love him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wow. That's inclusive. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. And I want you to notice what it doesn't say. So often it's important for us not only to know what the Bible says, but to know what the Bible does not say. It did not say, for the wages of really bad sin is death. It didn't say that. It said the wages of sin is death. Wow. That includes everything. Well, and what is sin according to the, by definition, if you were to do definitions in the, from the Greek, if you want to use the Greek language, and I'm a studier of Greek. I really honestly am. I don't say it to you a whole lot because it doesn't mean anything to most folks. But when you study like I do, it's important. But when I look at the wages of sin, when I think about what God is saying here, he tells us very simply that we are all sinners. And sin is a transgression of the law. What law? The law of God. When you break his law, and he says if you break one, you've broken them all. It's an amazing thing. And so it does not say, and I want to emphasize this, it does not say the wages of really bad, dark sin is death. It doesn't say that. And by the way, it doesn't say it anywhere else in Scripture. That's the thing that I want to emphasize. It says it here. It's taught throughout the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And it's very, very plain from one testament to the other. But it does not say in any of those passages that it's really, really a bad sin that sends a person to hell. It just simply doesn't say it. So I want to make that emphasis to you today. What is the only reason people go to hell? Thirdly, people won't go to hell because they won't live right. Nobody in this room lives as right as they want to. And we're living in a world right now where there's a lot of wrong living going on. You don't have to read far, and you don't have to listen far, and you don't have to watch far to know that this world, as one preacher said this morning in his preaching, he said the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Now, I know what he meant by that, and he wasn't preaching a negative sermon, and it was only 5 minutes of his message that I caught, but he did make that statement. But he's right. World has gone so far away from God, no wonder the Bible says God so loved the world. Because it's everybody, you see. Good people do not go to heaven and bad people do not go to hell. That's what we have to understand. Jeremiah 17:9, a verse probably everybody ought to memorize just because of the truth that's there, where it simply says that the heart is deceitful above all things. And wow, above all things? Do you ever stop and meditate on what the Word of God does say? The heart is deceitful above some things. Heart is deceitful above not so bad things. No, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And from my own study, it's a picture phrase that God threw in the Bible. One picture is worth 1,000 words. The picture phrase here means there's nothing humanly possible that can fix it because it's desperately wicked. And then it asks the question, who can know it? The Bible says in two places that God alone knows the hearts of men. You see, even our best works are sometimes tainted with selfish desires. My very first semester in Bible college, I had to take a class called Personal Evangelism. I was up in Minnesota. We had to memorize 128 verses in one semester. We had to memorize them word and punctuation perfect. And on week one, we had to memorize seven. On week two, we had to know the first seven and seven more. On the third week, we had to know the first 14 and seven more, word perfect and punctuation perfect. Very stringent class. I passed it, thank the Lord. You know what the first verse we had to memorize was? Genesis 6:5. What does it say? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. By the way, that sounds like the 21st century. Same thing. There are some people that no longer watch the news. I do. I don't watch it all the time, but I watch the news. But some people don't watch it anymore because they say it's the same old, same old. I try to keep up. I want to know what's going on out there because there's a need for Jesus. And Jesus is the hope of this old world. You have to understand that. And we've heard of some pretty evil things in the last number of years. You see, we understand it's not good people don't go to heaven and bad people don't go to hell. You see, people will not go to hell because they won't live right. You say, well, you told a lie. You stole this. You disobeyed your parents. You're going to go to hell. I remember standing at when I was a kid. You say, Pastor, can you remember back that far? Yes. When I was a kid, I was standing at the bus stop in front of our house. School was behind us, but the bus stop was right in front of my house. And I was standing there, and I remember my neighbor girl. We were all standing there getting ready to get on the bus, and somebody told a lie. I don't remember who it was. I just remember what she said. She did the exact. This is an exact quote. She said, "You told a lie. You're going to go to hell." And as a kid, I knew that wasn't right, but I remember her saying it of all things. I said, number one, I said, people won't go to hell because they're sinners, because we're all sinners. Number two, I said, people won't go to hell because they commit certain sins, because the Bible doesn't say. If the Bible does say there's no difference. Everybody's a sinner. Thirdly, I said, people won't go to hell because they won't live right. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart's deceitful above all things. That's all of us. Number four, people won't go to hell because they won't quit sinning. I did hear a preacher say, and I've told you this before, but it just seems to fit. He said in his sermon, he said, it's been 2 weeks since I've sinned against my Lord. I caught him after the service and I said, I'd like to make an appointment with you, because I had never heard any Bible-believing preacher ever say anything so foolish as I have not sinned against my Lord in 2 weeks. I would like to be able to say that, but I can't. Some people say, well, if you don't quit that sinning, if you don't quit that particular sin, God was going to send you to hell. That's simply not true. And you can't quit sinning. This belief is a totally unscriptural belief. And so is God will send you to hell if you do that. That's not true. So many, I said there are lots of philosophies about going to heaven. There's only one that's right. There are lots of beliefs about going to hell. Only one is right. And I'm going to share that with you today. By the way, I have never met anybody who's actually quit sinning, have you? We won't go through the numbers. But if all you did was commit one sin a day with your head, with your mind, and one sin with your mouth, and one sin with your body, that's three. Take that times a year, three times 365. Take that times how old you are. Wow. You realize how many sins that is? I've never met anybody that doesn't sin. And if somebody tells me that they don't sin, they're lying, not only to themselves, but to me and to God. So, if a person does not go to hell for any of the reasons that I've mentioned above, and I've shown them to you scripturally, just why does a person die and go to hell? Is there a biblical answer for that? Well, John 3:18 makes it clear. It says, he that believeth not is condemned already. It says in John 3:36, the teaching and preaching of John the Baptist. I like John the Baptist. I mean, he was a powerful preacher. And when Jesus preached, they thought it was John the Baptist come back from the dead. John the Baptist wrote these words. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice the words, and you ought to mark them down. He that believeth, and he that believeth not. Now, let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do people go to hell? Because they don't believe in Jesus. And I don't mean believe that he existed. I mean believe in him as Savior of the world, of who he is and what he says. Well, a person goes to hell because he's not believed in Christ as a personal Savior. And one might say, but I believe in Christ. You know, many do. Many do believe in Christ. But here's how. Look up here, and I want you to see this, if you would. I don't have a split personality, so I can't go to both sides here. Okay? Well, sometimes I guess I have a split personality, and so do I. That's the way it is. But I'm going to sit over here, and I think most of you can see me. And I believe that our online family can hear me, even though they can't see me necessarily. Well, they can see me over here. And I'm standing in front of this pew. It's a little short pew. And we used to have theater seats in here. And there's a church that got rid of all their pews and gave them to us. And we got rid of all of our theater chairs and we got their pews and put them in here. We had little short ones that were in the hallway. Now, this is a sturdy piece of furniture. Brother Penn sits in it every Sunday. I've got one just like it on the other side. It is sturdy. It is made right. I could stand on it right now, and it's a good pew, okay? It really honestly is. I believe that pew can hold me up. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Until I sit in it and let it hold me up. I can say I believe all the time, all that I want to. The Bible tells us in the book of James that the devils believe. But they're not saved. They're not forgiven. They believe also, the Bible tells us. I can say I believe in Jesus and believe that He saves and believe that He's the Savior of the world. But until I put my trust and faith in Him, like I sat down on this pew and lifted up my feet and folded my arms and that thing held me up completely, that's called trust. That's called faith. So if I were to sit in it like this and keep my feet on the floor, if it gave way, Lord willing, I wouldn't fall, but I could at least catch myself. And that's the way a lot of people believe in Jesus today. They'll believe in Him and their baptism and their church membership and their righteous living and their giving money and their philanthropy and everything else. They believe that's going to get them to heaven. And they will say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And one day when I stand before God, He's going to take all my good works in one hand and all my bad works in another hand, and my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. I got news for people that believe that. The Bible does not teach that at all. That is a human philosophy, and it comes straight from the devil himself. You see, I did more than believe that that chair could hold me up. I sat on it, but I didn't just sit on it. I put my entire weight on it, lifted up my feet, crossed my arms, and sat in it completely. And hear me now, ladies and gentlemen, trust is a major theme that is found in the Word of God. And here's what it means to trust, and you can look this up and study it if you want to, but it literally means to fully rely upon. It literally means to roll yourself upon. to roll yourself upon, not to put part of you on and part of you holding on to something else. That's one of the reasons I believe in the eternal security of once saved, always saved that the Bible teaches. They say, oh, if you believe that, you're a heretic. No, that's not true. If you're trusting Jesus, He's the one holding you up, not you. You see. When I got saved, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Thank God for that day. I'm so glad. If not believing in Christ as a personal Savior is the only reason people go to hell, then maybe we ought to get the message out to a lost and dying world and let them know that Jesus saves, you see. I love the illustrations that come even from my own life. But when I've shared the gospel with some, not everyone who said this, but some have cried and said, it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. You know, there are people today that actually believe you have to repent of all your sins before you can be saved. Really? Do you know all your sins? Oh, somebody else knows all your sins, but you don't. Yeah, they'll criticize you for all your sins. You can't repent of all your sins because repentance has nothing to do with giving a sin up. It has to do with putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and not in anything else. Why do you think Jesus told the Pharisees they needed to repent or they would likewise perish? Because they believed wrong. They lived right, by the way, but they believed wrong. And Jesus said to the people, to the Pharisees, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. I'm going to say, well, how does a person repent of all their sins? I've given this illustration on Lord's Supper nights. I'm going to give it this morning. I remember my pastor would stand in front of us and we'd get ready to take the Lord's Supper. He'd be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and he'd get down, let a man examine himself. And he'd say, you need to confess your sins and get right with God. He says, because if you don't, the Bible says here that you'll get damnation from the Lord. He'll condemn you and you'll get sick and you might even die if you don't do that. So I remember as a teenager, I'd confess every sin I could. And then when I got done confessing my sin, I'd think of somebody else's sin to confess because I ran out. I mean, you start confessing red carpeting and Hershey bars and everything else after a while because you don't want God to kill you because you took the Lord's Supper with a sin in your heart. And then my pastor would get up and preach a powerful message. And I'd find myself walking down the aisle, hitting the altar, and getting right with God. So what did I miss? It's because the Lord's Supper is about Jesus. It's not about me confessing all of my sins. And you read that chapter, it's about being in church for the wrong reason. That's what he wanted to get right with the people. Do you have the right motive for being there? So many things that could be said right now. But the Bible tells us that it's belief and not belief. John the Baptist said it right. And then you take that teaching from John chapter 3. And you take that teaching from John the Baptist in John chapter 3, and you take that over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and the Bible teaches exactly the same thing. And it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, how clear the Bible is on what it takes to be saved. And if a person doesn't trust Jesus as their Savior, their future after death is a place called hell. If not, listen, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There's more to this verse than what I'm going to quote to you right now, but it simply says, there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. John 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God makes salvation clear and plain, absolutely clear and plain. And by the way, that is about as clear as you're going to get. I've quoted that old Southern preacher so many times, I can't stand it. But he said the Bible sure do shed a lot of light on them commentaries. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it gives you the truth when men's opinions are all out there. And God makes the plan of salvation so simple that even a child can fully understand how to get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? He made it that you don't have to have a Bible college degree. You don't have to study Greek. You don't have to study Hebrew. You don't have to know what happened between the Old Testament and the New. You don't have to have New Testament survey. You don't have to have Old Testament survey. You don't have to study the languages in any way. He made it so clear that even a child, he says, let the child come, children come to me. And they did. And to believe as a child, simply to believe as a child. What does that mean? Take God at his word and just simply believe what he said. Don't have to add anything to it. So let me ask you the question this morning. Because I'm not going to keep you long, and I promise I won't. But have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Is that what you're basing your salvation on? There was a fellow many years ago used to come to our church. His wife was unsaved, and he'd have us pray for her every single week. God bless him. She had heard the gospel inside and out. She just would not put her faith and trust in Jesus. She was as lost. Did she ever get saved? I've never heard that she did, but he was a faithful man, and he prayed for his wife. He really honestly did. And I've known folks in the past, wives who've prayed for their lost husbands, you see. Go to church, hear the preaching, hear the teaching, enjoy the fellowship, have great fellowship times at church, and still walk out of the church house unsaved. And just remember, it's not good people that go to heaven, it's saved people. And it's not bad people that go to hell, it's unsaved people. You see, that's the simplicity of it. I'm so glad we use the gospel tract, God's simple plan of salvation. I used to have a tract that I got, I think I've still got a copy of it in here. It's very, very popular. And I'll go ahead and tell you the name of it because you probably use it. It's called Four Spiritual Laws. I renamed it affectionately as Four Spiritual Flaws because the one thing that they ask you to do in order to be saved was to make Jesus the owner and boss of your life. That's not what salvation. He's my Savior. I trust Him. He makes the changes in my life. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Bible says that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you got him inside of you, you can make him Lord. You don't make him Lord in order to get saved. Lordship and salvation are two separate doctrines. And what I am saying is there's a lot of believers today that need to make Jesus Lord, because they never have made him Lord of their lives. They've never let him be the owner of the paths of their life. They've never wanted his direction. Say, well, they're not saved. You can't judge that any more than I can. So the question I ask you today is, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? And if you are truly saved, born again, are you getting the gospel out to a world that needs a Savior? Churches today need to have a track rack. And they need to have gospel tracts available for people to take and give to people that they know. And to put in letters and bills that they pay and all the rest of it. That's why we have every track on that rack out there is a gospel track. God's simple plan of salvation, for one. Curtis Hudson's track, How to Go to Heaven, two. JoJo's track, A Peace That Passes Understanding. All of these things. And in Spanish, God's simple plan of salvation, all of it points people to the Lord Jesus. And that's why we make it available. So what is the only reason people go to hell? Because they've never put their belief in the Lord Jesus. Oh, they believe he existed. And some have even come around to believe that he was actually a historical figure. They actually believe that he did walk the earth. But they don't believe that he was the Savior or the Son of God, or that he was raised from the dead, even though there's more proof of his resurrection than there is almost anything in history. The truth of the matter is, The only reason people go to hell is because they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. They've never believed. They've never rolled themselves upon Him in order for Him to do all the saving. Like our gospel tract says, God does the saving, all of it. And He does do all of it.